Last week I preached part one of a two-part series called Are We a Church That People Are Attracted To? And I ask you to respond back to me this week as to what attracted you to Reinhardt. And several of you did that, and I'm appreciative to you if you took the time to do that. I wasn't too surprised at what people were telling me. In fact, interestingly, the top two things that attracted you to Reinhardt or to stay at Reinhardt are exactly the two things that I talked about last week. One, you were interested in strong biblical preaching, and you were interested in the friendliness of the church, the fact that you were welcomed here. You felt the love of Jesus extended to you. You know, just thinking about those two things for a moment, we must have preaching that is based on the Word of God, rather than preaching that is accommodating to the culture in which we live. In other words, God's opinion weighs much heavier than the culture's opinion. Amen? And I know that's true for so many of you, and I want it to be true for all of us, that God's Word matters. It matters more than anything. And one person said he could feel the Holy Spirit power in the preaching, and I praise God for that. I want that. I need that. And this morning, as I was looking at the sermon and preparing, and not only in the words that would be said, but in prayer and seeking the Lord, I said, God, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit to lead me and to empower me. And I know Elijah would say the same thing. When we get up here to preach, we cannot rely on our own charisma. We cannot rely upon our talent or our ability. We must rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in what we say. Another person said they feel challenged through the preaching of God's Word. That's what God's Word will do for us. It will convict us. It challenges us to be more like Jesus. And so I'm thankful that if you're coming here and you want to have strong biblical preaching, praise the Lord for that. And just would you pray for me, and would you pray for Elijah, that we can be that messenger of God in delivering His Word. It really doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I say, really. What matters is, what does God's Word say? And I want to be the messenger of God's Word to you. Another thing that, as I said to you, was very important to people who responded to me this week was the friendliness of the people here at Reinhardt. Your love in action is bringing people back a second and a third time to this church. And hopefully it helps people to plant their roots deep here at Reinhardt. How you greet the visitors who come in our doors is having an impact on them, not just getting them back here maybe a second or a third time, but it may be making an impact in their salvation. And that's so important. In fact, I thought this was interesting. One person specifically named Terry Logan as key in why they came back to Reinhardt. Praise the Lord. And they said she welcomed them with such friendliness and treated them like they were family. And I read that and I thought, you know, we all need to be that person. We need to be like Terry in welcoming people and loving people as they come in the door. This same couple came to the church very wounded and hurt from where they had been attending. When they came here and experienced the love, they said it was like a balm to their wounded spirit. In fact, two couples invited this visiting family out to eat over those first few weeks that they attended here, and that was very impactful to them. The same couple said where they had been attending, they were trying to invite some younger couples to the church, and someone pulled them aside and told them to stop the nonsense of inviting young couples to the church, because this is an old people's church, they said. That's what they said. So when they came to Reinhardt and they saw a church with younger people in it, they were encouraged by that. And I have a feeling that church that they left had a death sentence over their front door. Because as I said to you last week, the youth, the young people are indeed the future of the church. And so young people, and I'm not just talking this size young people, but also this size young people, youth in general, are very important to the Lord's church. And I didn't say this to you, but I wanted to say it today, several things about this point. If we're going to have youth as a very important thing for our church, then we're going to have to know that there are certain things that go along with that, such as crying babies, right? And that should be a beautiful sound to us. That should be a beautiful sound to us. Now, not that we want that sound all through the service, but because most moms know, you know, to take that crying baby out of the auditorium. But really, the sound of a crying baby should be precious to us. That should be music to our ears because we want young people here. We love young people. We love the little babies here, and we love a full nursery here, and we love the young kids here. And I'm glad you feel that way. Having young people in the church means, too, there's going to be some kids running in the hallways sometimes. And there will be scuff marks on the walls. And sometimes the toilets won't be flushed. And sometimes dirty diapers will be left laying. And the chocolate donut that I wanted to eat is gone because the kid got it first. But all of that's okay. All of that is just fine. Because we really don't need to be overly concerned with those things. We should rejoice because they are reminders to us that we have young people in the church and young families in the church, and that is the future of the church. And something else we should know and be good with too. Because there are young people in the church, our worship service really does need to have some new songs introduced to us periodically. Some contemporary songs being introduced to us along the way. I've told you this before, but I think it's really something that should be said at least once a year around here. And it goes back to several years ago when I was at the church in Fort Scott. We had a fella there whose name was Ben Merrill. And you that have been around the Brotherhood for a long time, that name may be familiar to you. Ben Merrill was an older guy who was the expert on church growth in our Brotherhood at the time. And Ben Merrill preached at a church in California, and that church grew into the thousands. And when he was about 65 years old, and I will say to you, Ben Merrill would go around the country speaking on church growth. And we were fortunate enough to invite him and him accept the invitation to come to the church in Fort Scott. And I wanted him to talk to our leadership about church growth. And he told us his story. When he was about 65 years old in that church in California running into the thousands, he decided to leave that church. And he came to a church in the St. Louis area, outside of the church of the St. Louis area, Harvester Christian Church. It was running about 200 people at the time. And he said, I just wanted to see if I could do it one more time. Meaning, in his twilight years of ministry, he wanted to see if indeed God would use him and could use him in growing this church into a larger church. And by the time he retired in his 70s, probably his mid to late 70s, that church had grown from 200 to well into the thousands of people who came every Sunday. And one thing he said that caught my attention. He said, if there wasn't at least one or two songs in the worship service on a Sunday morning that he didn't like, then something was wrong. We need to hear that. He was an old guy at the time. And probably his preference was the old songs. But he understood that it wasn't all about him. It wasn't all about his preference or his likings. It was about those young people. And if they wanted to have young people attracted to the church, they couldn't just do an old people's format all the time. And I think to have that mindset, you have to have some spiritual maturity about you. And I do think a good number of our people here understand that, but it is something that we need to be reminded of. It's not just about us. It's about the good of the kingdom. And by the way, of those who responded to my request this last week, there were some who said that they were invited to Reinhardt. And that's a very good thing. Personal invitations are the best way to get people to come to church. The praise and worship was something that was very important too to people who were responding back to me. One person said they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit when we are worshiping here. And I'm going to talk more about that this morning here in a few minutes. Something else that was important to some who responded to me was the leadership here. They said that they greatly appreciated the leadership. They sensed the sincerity of the leadership. And I think they were talking about the elders of the church here. They sensed a strong leadership here. And the fact, they said, the leaders would take the time to talk to me and to be friendly to me. That was important to them, and that helped draw them back to Reinhardt. I'll mention one other thing that I thought was interesting, and here in this is all my introduction. In fact, most of the sermon today will be my introduction, just kind of filling you in on what I discovered from you this last week. I'll mention this to you. I thought it was interesting. Kermit Pritchett said they came here because this is where their daughter came to church. And he said when they first came, it was a small country church, and they liked that. But I got the impression from what he said that he senses it's kind of changed. The church has grown. It's no longer just a small country church, but it's a larger country church now. And you know what? He's okay with that. And they're still here. Kermit and Ginger are still here. And I, you know what? I see them after church hanging around in the lobby, and they're talking to people. And they're getting to know people, and they're enjoying fellowship with people. And I'm thinking, that's what it's all about, that we give effort to get to know one another, and that we understand the church, though at one point it may be small, it's not supposed to stay small. It's supposed to grow. The Lord wants the church to grow, because every person has a soul, and every person is one whom Jesus died for. And we all should want the church to grow, and we should be okay with that. We should pray for that to happen, because that means more people are coming to Jesus. Now, as the church grows, that means we have to figure out how to accommodate the growth. And our church leaders are talking about that. And so I want to encourage you to pray for them as they have things to figure out. And maybe what, hear me say this, maybe what they come up with will be a decision that not everybody likes. But again, it's not about us. It's about the good of the kingdom. And we need to be all about the kingdom. And so let's pray, and let's be committed to unity, and let's be committed to helping the church to grow. The Pettibons said something to me that I thought was very interesting. They said this is something that made a difference for them on their first Sunday to visit here at Reinhardt. They said Larry and Karen Paddock came and sat beside them on that first Sunday. And it wasn't by accident that that happened. That was intentional. And Larry and Karen doing that, though it may seem like just a small thing, it was a big thing to them, because Larry and Karen welcomed them in that way and talked with them, probably introducing them around to people. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes these what seemingly are little things can become a big thing. It can make a big difference in whether somebody comes back a second or a third time. And I have this to share with you too, from Cooper Black. He said the reason he came to Reinhardt is he was asked to fill in on the drums for a Sunday. Now, the reason he stayed at Reinhardt is he met Riley. I thought that was good. And it tells me, you know, of course, they later got married. It tells me if you're single, coming to Reinhardt might be a good thing. Now, interestingly, as Riley sent me her reasons, she didn't mention a word about Cooper. But we do need to acknowledge Cooper wasn't here yet. But Riley said, I came here and I stayed here because of the people. They're real. And I thought that was wonderful. There were multiple people who said to me, when they walk through the doors of this church, they feel something. They feel the Holy Spirit here. I pray that's always the case. We need to help that happen. That's not just something, you know, mystical like that. It's the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us, and we are overflowing with His love and His kindness. We need to help that to continue to happen as we surrender to the Spirit ourselves and let that overflow to touch other people's lives. So let me get back to our question, and the introduction now is over, okay? What is it that attracts people to a church? We could say this is number one, or we could say this is number four, as we continue from last week. A Holy Spirit-filled and led worship service will attract people to a church. And several who took the time to respond back to me this week agreed that a strong worship service makes a powerful impact on people's lives. And I think we have that here at Reinhardt. We are so blessed to have people up here leading us in worship, whether it be the singers, whether it be the people on the instruments. They are leading us in worship. And I will tell you this, folks. I've heard our elders say this multiple times. We do not want this up here to be a performance. And everyone out there is just listening and cheering on the ones who are up here. No, we want those who are up here to be leading us in worship. And we want those who are out there to be participating in the worship. And when that happens, God's Spirit is going to be moving and touching people's hearts. You felt it. I have felt it. It is a powerful thing. Let me talk to the men for just a moment, simply because I have been in church services through the years where I have noticed a lot of the men not singing. Please, please don't let that be true of you. I suppose we might be like the little boy that was in my first and second grade VBS class this last go-round. He wasn't singing, and I said to him, "Hey, why aren't you singing?" And he said, "I'm embarrassed." I said, "Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. It's a good thing to sing to the Lord. We're worshiping Him. He is deserving of that. And He's not interested in how we sound. He's not interested in whether we're singing pretty or not. What He's interested in is that we're singing from our heart and that we're giving Him the worship that He's due." I noticed before the week was up, that little guy was singing. And he was right up here bouncing around with the other kids in worship to God. Because in VBS, the songs that you sing, they're such that you can't hardly stand still. You have to move a little bit. And those kids could teach the adults a thing or two about worship. It is a powerful thing. Are you familiar with the story in 2 Chronicles 20? Where the Israelite army under the reign of King Jehoshaphat won their battle against the Ammonite army and they never lifted a sword. What they did lift, what they did raise, though, were their voices of praise to God. I want to encourage you to go home and read that whole chapter. It's inspiring and it's enlightening as to the importance of praise to God. The Ammonite army was called a great multitude that was coming against Israel. And Israel, as you read through that chapter, Israel confessed to God that they were powerless before this great army that was coming against them. Jehoshaphat, their leader, was afraid. But verse 3 in that chapter says, in response to his fear, he turned his eyes upon the Lord, and he began to pray and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Israel. And after that, things began to happen. Things began to turn around. God's Spirit came upon the priest, whose name was Jehaziel. And the priest said, through the inspiration of the Spirit, do not fear, do not be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. And verse 17 of that chapter says, you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. Let me read to you verses 20 through 24. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, O Judah and Jerusalem, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, they were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. Wow. Wow! Wow! There is power in praise to God. There is victory when we give our praise to Him. Our enemy is brought down when we sing praises to the Lord God Almighty. And so, men and women and young people and old people, get in on the worship to the Lord our God. Sing praises to Him. Raise the rafters of this place. Every time you come together, let's just raise the roof and praise to the Lord. Because there's victory when we praise God together. And may it not just be here on Sunday that we give our praises to Him. May it be all through the week that we are giving our praises to Him. And when we do that, we will experience victory, and we will experience His joy, and we will experience the awesomeness of our God, and we will be moved by the Holy Spirit. Don't sit there untouched by the worship. Decide to participate and pour out your heart to Him. Open your mind to Him. Open your spirit to Him and let Him fill you up to overflowing. And you know what? You'll want to come back next Sunday just to get some more and to be a part of that. And so, God, help us. Amen? Help us. Help us to be worshipers of You like the angels are of You in heaven. That, you know, you read through the book of Revelation and you see the angels, what are they doing? They're worshiping God in heaven. They're around a throne and they're bowing down and they're shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They can't help but worship Him. Not one angel in heaven is a bystander to the worship. So let us not be a bystander. Rather, let us be a participant in the worship, and we will be sending the devil on the run. There's still great power in worship. I'll give to you just very quickly one more point. This would be point number two today. It would be point number five between the two sermons. People are attracted to a church that is impacting its community. People want to go to a church that is making a difference. And you think about the early church. Wow. Were they making a difference in their community? You know, one of the big things, one of the big differences that the early church was making that you don't hear a whole lot talked about? Because really, when you think about the impact that the early church was making, probably one of the first things we would say is, well, they were taking care of the poor. And they were. And that's a wonderful thing. And that needs to be happening. And they were taking care of the widows and the orphans. And that is a wonderful thing. It was making an impact on their community. There were people who were selling pieces of property, and they were bringing the money to the church leaders. And they were saying, take this and distribute it to those who are in need. And so the early church was making a huge impact in those ways upon their community. And they were winning souls to Jesus. Day by day, they were winning souls to Jesus. But let me tell you one way that they were making an impact on their community that you don't hear a whole lot about. All of a sudden, all of those sacrifices of animals that were being made, there was no longer a need for that. You read through the Old Testament pages, and when it comes to the Day of Atonement, there were, I remember on one occasion, there was 120,000 sheep sacrificed in one day. And that's not counting the bulls and the cows and the turtle doves. That's a lot of animals being sacrificed. And once Jesus gave his life on the cross and the early church started surrendering to Jesus as the Son of God, there was no longer any need for sacrifice, because his was enough. It was a one-time sacrifice. And don't you know, that got the attention of everybody. The early church made an impact on its community. And I think we can make an impact on our community too. If we surrender ourselves fully to Jesus, and we're bringing people to the foot of the cross, and people's lives are changing one at a time, that in itself is going to make an impact at the workplaces. It'll make at the fairgrounds, at the ball fields. Things will begin to change as we help change people. That's one of the biggest impacts that we can have upon our community. But two, we can help the poor, and we can feed the hungry, and we can help the orphans and the widows. And if we'll have our eyes open to the needs around us, Reinhardt can be a difference maker. And people want to be in a church that's making a difference.